Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, curtain jerkers! Welcome to the very first episode of Jerking the Curtain. I am Jeremy Staples, and with me, as always, is Brett Beeler. Say hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Yeah, it's going to be that kind of show. All right. So, I guess we should get right into things. Raw, last night. Not exactly what I would call the best show. I guess that's being nice about it. It was boring for the most part. Daniel Bryan saved that show. Daniel Bryan saved that show. Like, there's no question about that. I missed the first, several minutes. I got home late, but I guess there was the contract signing for the match at SummerSlam between him and Cena, and I'm sure that was entertaining.
Contract signing. Whoop-de-doo.
Exactly. Especially to open the show. Usually they'll build that up, throughout the episode. But to lead it off, I don't know. But so I guess that happened.
And then Sheamus had a nice mold growing on his leg after that.
Yeah, crusty Irish people.
Yeah, fuck the Irish.
Yeah, and Mexicans for that matter, which just alienated the entire audience because his opponent was the Alberto Del Rio. And that match was just, it was not very good, I didn't think. I've seen better out of both of them, but I'll give Sheamus credit. He was working with, this fungus on his leg, and Del Rio was Del Rio.
Well, and he definitely sold it really well. Definitely acted like he almost didn't even have a leg, not just that it had like this gnarly like living bruise growing out of it. But I agree with you. The match was pretty boring. Apparently, Chris Berg liked it, but that guy's a faggot.
Dude, he loves him some Sheamus. Like I've never seen so like even our homegirl Neve from goddamn Ireland cannot stand Sheamus. Chris Berg, on the other hand, get a fucking a joint in his hand and a Sheamus match in front of him, and he's in goddamn heaven.
Like you forgot the potato up his ass.
And the potato up his ass. That man is insatiable. Like Layla.
I believe it.
What's that?
No, go ahead. I was doing exactly what you were about to.
Oh. After that, we went to Christian versus Titus O'Neil. Not a bad match. I like primetime players.
Put the brakes on. Put the brakes on. You're skipping something, aren't you?
I lied.
Never mind. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm dumb.
Yeah, you are. But primetime players, Titus O'Neil, he entertains the shit out of me. He really does. Darren Young, not so much, but he makes a good like a little like lackey. It kind of reminds me of like the old cartoons where you have the big dog and this little dog who's bouncing around. What are we gonna do today? Like, I think they're adorable.
I don't know. I like Titus. I think my shit is still intact. It's definitely not out of me, but I like Titus. Darren. My fiance watches maybe 20 minutes of wrestling with me a week, and that was the first time she'd seen him. So I had to pull up a side-by-side of him and Cena to show her mega Cena, and she didn't believe me at first. She thought it was Photoshopped.
No, yeah. That's definitely – that shit happened.
Yep.
The match itself was pretty good, but I think that has a lot to do with the fact that it was Christian in the ring with him. Fuck, what would we say? It's goddamn Christian.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I love me some Christian, but I don't know. I haven't been feeling it to Flash Return. He hasn't done anything yet to get me pumped.
They're not really pushing him, either, so I guess that's a lot to
As
do with
usual.
It. Yeah. So after that, we had Mark Henry calling out the Shield. And it looked like he was going to catch another beatdown until the Usos came out and made the big save. I like that they're keeping, you know, with the push with the Usos and, you know, leading them against the Shield. But I really hope that they're not going the direction of the six-man at SummerSlam.
You know they
I'm
are.
Really hoping. I know they are. Yeah, they have to be. To me, I think it would almost be better to have Henry versus Ambrose, you know, for the U.S. title. But they could probably play that out later on, I guess. But gets the Usos a match on pay-per-view unless they relegate him to the goddamn pre-show again.
Yeah. I think if it's a six-man, that probably won't happen. But what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't think that they'd put the tag titles, you know, in the pre-show, especially when the people holding the titles are some of the most over wrestlers in the company. Like,
well,
who put the Shield?
They're over, but they've also, I mean, with the work they've done with the tag titles over the last, year or so, like, they were always such a side thing, like an afterthought, and I feel like with Team Hell No and now the Shield, they were kind of pushing that back up, and they're making the Usos prominent again, and then they stick them on the pre-show. And, like, the Shield doesn't belong in Santino territory. That's all I've got to say about that.
Speaking of Santino, where the fuck is he?
I was wondering the same thing last night, and I'm sure Chris Berg knows.
Yeah, it's in his basement.
I think he runs the fan site from his basement as well. But all right, moving on. We had a little short match between Darren Young and Dolph Ziggler.
That's the Nation doppelganger.
Yes. And I don't know. The match went about how I was expecting. I actually thought it would have been cool to give Darren Young the win, since he loses every match, whether it's singles or a tag team match. But I saw the finish coming from my way when he was standing over him and Dolph was down on all fours. Kind of telegraphed, but whatever. And then a little thing comes out where Big E Langston comes out to try to attack him, and they do the little switcheroo in and out of the ring. And, it was good build up for the match, but I kind of want to see something a little bit more unique out of this, I guess. I don't know. It seems so cookie cutter for the way they're building to the match.
Yeah, I could see that. Hopefully they'll give them more TV time to be able to develop the feud. I think that the segment, including the match, probably was an entire, like, 3-4 minutes at best.
It's pretty short.
Yeah, and Dolph needs to be pushed right. He needs to be pushed correctly at this moment, especially after, I mean, they had him hold that briefcase for so long, and then he finally cashes it in, he wins the world title, he has his moment, and then he immediately loses it back to fucking Del Rio, and then he was just relegated back down to the mid-card.
You forgot he had a concussion, remember?
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for that, who knows how quickly they would have taken the belt back off him. I mean, that concussion probably gave an extra 3 weeks onto his reign.
Yeah. I hate that our good buddy Steve Demain, he called that. He pretty much called them not. I'm sorry, the downfall of Dolph Ziggler from when he won the title until now. He called it out in an article that you can find at kayfabecorner.com.
Yeah, but he's a Jew.
He is a fucking Jew, so fuck him. All right, so after that,
before we move on a little, I want to say a little bit more something about the whole Dolph Ziggler thing, losing the title and whatnot.
Go right ahead.
It's kind of reminded me of when Christian won the World Heavyweight Championship, and he had that 2-day reign, and he lost it. I kind of feel like there were a lot of people that were, like, defending, like, oh, wait and see where the story plays out, and blah, 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 blah. They're just building a story. And, yeah, I think Christian held it again, but I don't even remember the second time that he held the title when he won it back, because he lost it again so fucking quick. I feel like they're doing the same thing with Ziggler. Like, they gave us just this short little amount of time that we finally got what we wanted and we waited so long for, just to take it away. And I feel like that's just Vince trolling.
Oh, yes. That is classic VKM. Oh, Vince. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. So, the next segment. Nipplegate.
Nipplegate.
Yes, I'm going to let you take the floor here.
I miss Nipplegate. I went out for a smoke, and I was also watching Best Coast feed, so it was probably edited out anyway. But I did find the picture online afterwards. I actually saw it on Reddit before I saw it in the group, Kayfabe Corner on Facebook.
Yes, that is facebook.com/groups/Kayfabe Corner.
There you go. But the picture I found that was on Reddit just made me laugh a little bit because it kind of looked like the USA logo was sucking on her tit just a little bit.
Yes. The pictures. And if you did not see this, just Google search it because it's out there. It's everywhere right now. Her and her very erect brown nipple.
Yeah, it was pretty pokey.
It was almost like she was like working it before she went out, you know, getting it all like getting the girls ready.
It was very hot in Austin. Okay, so just cut her some.
Yes,
slack.
Yes. There was it was very humid. And that's that was part of her statement after the fact because apparently Vince McMahon and WWE are furious over this, and I don't really think that they should be. Coming down on her like this, especially because it was so humid and she had fucking tape, you know, keeping her dress to her tits. It's a little bit ridiculous. This is why we have that 7-second delay, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. You got to move on. I mean, it happened, 2 months ago to Caitlyn? Two,
yep.
3 months ago? So, yeah, this has been a pretty productive year for titties.
For
kind of like that. Yeah, kind of like it. 2013, year of the tata. All right, so
speaking of 2013, I always say 2013. I hate when people say 2000. Damn you. Next match was Fandango versus Cody Rhodes, and I said it in the group last night, but I'll say it again. Fandango is Zack Ryder 2013. Easy as that. The fans like. Kind of really got him over in the first place when he finally, like, first came out, same way they did with Zack Ryder, supporting him online and everything. And for both guys, I was never really that impressed. I thought they were pretty average. They had a kind of a unique little gimmick that people get behind superficially, and that's the only reason they even got the little pushes that they did.
I would argue the point that the reason why Fandango's push has fallen as hard as it has is because they've been paired up with a very untalented Summer Rae. I cannot stand this broad. Cannot stand her. As you mentioned in the group in the Best Coast thread last night, that you know that you can find every Monday at facebook.com/groups/kayfabecorner. She looks like a trashier Paris Hilton covered in dog shit. I cannot stand this broad. She has no talent. If you've seen her on NXT, you know she has no goddamn talent. She can't wrestle, even though they've pretty much made her like the queen of NXT. Like I forget the exact name, but it's something similar to that. It's ridiculous. She needs to go. They need to bring back the Nameless Dancing Broad. She was so much better in that role.
I thought they just had a different bitch each week.
I would be fine with that as long as it's never Summer Rae. Never.
Okay. But anyway, he had a short little match with Cody Rhodes, and Cody got the pin. I really like the story they're going with Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow right now. I really wanted Cody to win. I've been a Cody supporter for a long time, and I really felt like this was his year. And the swerve they threw at me with me feeling that way, with him almost getting it and Sandow betraying him, was nothing short of brilliant. I loved it.
See,
I thought it was great.
I'm Team Cody.
Let me finish real quick. Let me finish real quick, and then I'll leave. I'm almost done.
I'm looking at
I just feel like, yeah. Let me see. I'm only
taking Kanye.
Yep, I am the Kanye of the wrestling world. But I feel like even though we didn't get the case, the story that's going along with that is really a push for both him and Sandow. And Sandow probably could have used the case to get over a little bit more than Cody. I don't know, but it's pushing them both. Go, I'm done.
I 100% agree with everything you just said. My only problem with the story is that the whole idea that they're trying to paint Sandow as being this big bad guy for I mean, he was in the fucking match too. So he did not betray Cody. He was just trying to win the match. If it was reversed, would Cody be the asshole for trying to win the match? No, he wouldn't.
Yes.
That's my only problem with the storyline. Other than that, I think it's great that we have a an upper mid-card feud between Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, and I did not think we would see that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome either way.
Yes, it is. Okay, so the next segment was the CM Punk promo, and I have to admit I barely was able to pay attention to anything that was said in this thing. I've heard how great it was. I have children, and they are assholes, and so I was dealing with that, and by the time I got back to the TV, it was to the next segment, and so I'm going to have to kind of rely on you. What were your feelings on
this
segment?
That kind of sucks, because yeah, I was sitting here, I was watching it, but I was kind of busy bullshitting in the group, and I wasn't paying the most attention.
And, you know, that's so unlike us. We kind of have a standing
right?
in the group, you know, at facebook.com/groups/kayfabecorner every Monday in the threads. Whenever CM Punk is out there, we have radio silence. It's quiet. Punk is on. And
it's
we
unspoken.
Both fucking failed.
We don't even declare. I mean, it's a running joke now. We declare it. But it kind of just happens every week.
It goes without
anyway.
Saying. Yes. I heard it was great.
Out, my daughter's about to interrupt me.
Oh, sorry.
All right. I'll mute. You go ahead and talk.
Okay. I heard that the... whoa. Dr. Roboto. I heard that it was a really good promo. People are praising it as being closer to his earlier stuff, earlier promos. I can't really judge, but I heard it was good, and it's CM Punk, so it probably fucking was. After that, Rob Van Dam versus Wade Barrett. Pretty good match. Not very
still
long.
Was chatting.
You were still? Oh,
I was
man.
Still chatting in the group. I wasn't paying attention.
It was pretty good. RVD busted open Barrett's mouth late in the match with a kick, as RVD is prone to do. I thought it was good, although I am saddened that it seems that any hope for a push for Wade Barrett is dissolved once again. I love Wade Barrett. I think he deserves to be higher up on the card than he is. But hey, what am I going to do?
I don't know. I kind of like Barrett. I'm not like super over on him or anything. I feel like he's going to get his time. He'll get his push eventually. As long as he sticks in there and he keeps putting out decent to good work, I think his push will eventually come. But you're right. He does kind of keep getting bumped down. But I don't know. He's still paying his dues for me.
He's been in the company for 3 years now, though. He debuted in June, I believe. It was either June or July of 2010 with Nexus. And he's had, like, several different points thus far where they've been right on the cusp of getting ready to push him to the next level. And I know the big thing was when he dislocated his elbow last year. That was a major setback because they were about ready to put the Money in the Bank briefcase on him at that point.
It's true, but I don't know. Like, yeah, he's been in there 3 years. How long has Dolph been in? He had to go through all that Spirit Squad bullshit, and then he did such a great job at selling to everybody that they finally gave him his push. He's been in the company way longer. Cody's been in the company longer. I think there are a lot of guys. I don't think a lot of guys get pushed that quickly anymore, other than, like, Sheamus, who I think won the title within his first year. I'm not sure. I think I started watching, like, right after he lost his championship the first time. But I feel like 3 years isn't that bad just for not having a title. I mean, he's held the IC title. You'll have to tell me if he's held the U.S. title because I can't remember.
No, I think he's only had the IC title. He's had it a few different times.
Yeah, so he's had it multiple times, though. So, I don't know. I feel like his push is coming. He's just got to stick in there a while longer.
And I hope so. And, I mean, you were right when you brought up, you know, guys like Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, people who have been there longer. I guess that my point was that I think it's strange that Barrett hasn't been pushed up higher than he has, only due to the fact that he has the look that you think that WWE would be completely behind putting into that slot, into that main event slot. He's big, he's good in the ring, he's he's pretty fluid. What can I say?
Yeah.
He'll eventually get his time. I know he will, and I'm confident of that.
All right. Well, we agree. Let's move on. Fuck Wade Barrett.
Yes. Fuck.
And then we got to really the only reason, aside from maybe the Punk promo that neither of us really paid attention to watch, Daniel Bryan's gauntlet.
Yes.
So
yes.
His first opponent, Jack Swagger, who I've never really been a fan of. I don't hate him so much as I just kind of strongly dislike him.
I'm not a huge Swagger supporter myself. Swagger. I had taken a pretty much a 2-year hiatus from wrestling and he debuted during that time. And I remember I went to the No Way Out pay per view up here in Seattle. And it was 2009, I think it was 2008, 2009. And he was in one of the matches, and I'm just like, who the fuck is this guy? And the first thought in my head is like, man, this guy can swagger my balls. And I have not changed my feelings on him since.
Yeah, I agree. So fuck Swagger. We're way over time, so let's move on past that faggot. Cesaro, really the highlight of the night. Bryan's match with Cesaro was pretty great. Seen a lot of stuff online saying it was almost ROH-ish. And I haven't watched a ton of ROH myself, so I couldn't really speak on that too much. But it was pretty fucking awesome. It was a good long match. I've been noticing the last few weeks with the 3-hour shows, it kind of seems like WWE's finally found their groove. And in that third hour, they generally put on a nice, good, long match. So we had it a week or two ago with Jericho RVD. I think that was last week. And supposedly a match got cut from the card, so that one could go a little bit overtime because another segment ran over, but whatever. It was a long match. It was quality, just like his match with Cesaro. If you missed it, check it out. It's a thing of beauty. And I'll go ahead and let you handle Dry Crack, unless you want to say anything about Cesaro.
Oh, I could spend a half an hour alone on Cesaro alone, I should say. It was a great match, hard hitting, just great
the
work.
Uppercut.
And hopefully the uppercuts, the fucking uppercuts. And I really hope that whoever is has soured on Cesaro backstage has changed their mind after seeing that performance.
I hate Swagger, I'm thankful that Cesaro is paired with him because he's getting a push out of it. So
he's
I'll take
on
it.
TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that led to the Ryback match. It was a match, and it happened in a ring. And that's pretty much all I can say about it. It wasn't that great. And then
I was convinced we were getting Big Show because he was advertised to be back last night. He wasn't there, and somebody in the group was bitching about, oh, everybody's all upset about Big Show not coming back. I wasn't upset. I just don't like being wrong. but I noticed a lot of people weren't on last night. No Big Show, even though he was advertised. I was reading online, apparently they advertised Triple H, and he only appeared on the Tron. No Randy Orton, no Wyatt. And like you said at the top of the hour, it was kind of a boring show. And, I mean, Chris Berg was probably sleeping because there was no Randy Orton.
Insatiable he is. He loves him some Orton. He loves his patchy beard. He wants to stroke his cheeks, both face and buttocks. The match, there was the point at the end where Ryback was supposed to catch Bryan and basically just let him free fall to the floor. And I've read that there's a lot of heat on Ryback for that. It was an accident. I don't think that too much should be made out of that. It ended in a DQ.
I'm not a big, huge fan. I don't really hate Ryback either. I'm still kind of on the fence about him. And it was an accident. I heard even like Cena and Punk were pretty disapproving backstage, and apparently Cena never says shit. So if he's on your case about something, then you know you fucked up. But
yeah, I mean, just ask
ask
Ken Anderson.
The whole being overprotective of Bryan, I feel is like kind of feeding off with how they feel about him backstage. I think they're worried about him getting hurt because they know how over he is right now.
I think it has more to do with the fact that he's in their main event for the next pay-per-view, and that's a big payday that John Cena could have lost out on right there.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we just spent 25 minutes on a 10-minute segment, and I know you had something else you wanted to get to, so let's wrap up Raw. Who ended up winning that? Who won Brian Ryback? I think Brian won by DQ.
Brian by DQ, because the table spot.
That's right. And then, that's right, so... Yay, and then that was the end. Next week we get Brian Kane, blah, blah, blah. We got about 4 minutes left, so let's jump into that other topic we were going to get into.
Yes.
Over on the other side of the pond with TNA.
Yes, so this is a little bit of breaking news. I know that a lot of people might not know, but earlier today, Jesse Sorensen, the guy who was damn near crippled by Zia Ion in February of last year during the... one of their pay-per-views, he was let go by TNA, and a lot of people are being let go right now for cost-cutting reasons. Well, this is a little bit of breaking news here. Jesse has taken to Twitter and Facebook and whatever the fuck else to let everybody know that he's basically calling out Dixie Carter, who apparently had told him that he would have a lifetime job with the company. He had been working backstage and I believe a marketing type role.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Yeah, so he's officially been released, and he is none too happy, and he has taken public for this. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I know your thoughts were meh. I saw your comment, don't try to hide. But I was already kind of bent, because I feel if I almost posted it, and then I didn't because I read it. And I thought I even read in the post, because I was about to comment before I read the link, that he was all like, oh, I understand, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember. I'll have to go back and read the post. I wonder if I can find it. And so I ended up not posting what I was going to. But I would say, if a guy gets damn near crippled and almost killed working for your company, like, you should support him. And even if he's not going to be a lifetime employee, at least make sure that he's never unemployed, at least until he gets his next good job. Whatever the fuck he's doing, whether it's in a wrestling capacity or not. Like, come on. There are people putting their lives on the line for you every single night in that ring, and one of them actually does have something serious happen to them. Yeah, they gave him backstage job, they kept him around for a while, but why cut him? Fucking cut Hulk fucking Hogan. Fuck that guy. They're shoving money down that guy's throat, even though supposedly he was paid late. I probably wouldn't mind being paid late the money that Hulk Hogan makes. Just saying.
Yeah.
And that's probably – how many Jesse Sorensens do you think makes a Hulk Hogan as far as salary goes?
I can't even begin to guess.
I can't even guess. I'd probably be way off no matter what. But you know it's going to be a lot. And that's what's ridiculous to me. Like, I don't know. It pissed me off. Is he ever going to be able to wrestle again? I haven't followed the story a whole lot. I remember when it happened.
This is kind of goes back to my meh comment, was he's basically ring shy. He's cleared. He can return.
Oh, yeah.
He can return. He's just been ring shy, and that's why I feel that, like, okay, if he cannot wrestle, then it's okay to cut him. But that was before I knew that he was promised this lifetime position, according to him, allegedly. But, yeah, it sucks. So we've got about 1 minute left on this first edition of Jerking the Curtain.
Plugs, I know you got them.
I'm
out of your
plugs.
Ass, now I'm on the people.
All right, so first off, I have plugged it several times throughout the episode, facebook.com/group/kayfabecorner. That's the group, and you can join us every Monday for discussion threads. We always have lively discussions going on, dick jokes, everything you could possibly want contained there. We also have our... Plenty. We also have our very own website at kayfabecorner.com, and that's the home of this here podcast, where you'll be able to listen to it each and every week, as well as on iTunes. So that's pretty much it for this week. Anything else you would like to say?
Yeah, let us know what you think in the group. Let us know how we're doing. Suggestions are welcome. And stay tuned. We might have some other show in the works. 5 seconds. Bye. Love you.
All right. So for Brett Beeler, this is Jeremy Staples saying good night and have an evening.
Thank you.